I understand why we have the Ten Commandments. But it's not clear why we have them twice. We read them in Exodus, after all, at the mountain with thunder and lightning, and presumably Israel was paying attention. And yet, as Moses is facing the land and recounting everything that happens, he feels it necessary, with some very minor variations, to repeat the Ten Commandments. And this morning, I want to propose at least one possible theory as to why Moshe feels it necessary to repeat the commandments that we heard just a few months ago when we read the book of Exodus, the book of Shemot. And I thought about it over the past couple of weeks when I watched the riots in London, where people were burning and looting and destroying because they were dissatisfied with their lives. Now, obviously, on the face of it, burning and looting and destroying your neighborhood doesn't actually make your life better. We learned this from the riots in Los Angeles. But one of the things that we do know is that from the time we are little, all of us, especially boys, but all of us, like to break things. Breaking things is fun. Burning things is fun. There's a reason why you keep matches out of the hands of children, because matches are fun. And there is a deep impulse inside of us, as you know, if you've ever given anything delicate to a child, to smash things. And that doesn't go away. It's still fun to break things. And therefore, at least part of the explanation of rioting must always be that rioting is fun. You get to go out with a crowd of other people and burn things and smash them. Who wouldn't want to do that? And this leads to an important insight that the Jewish tradition has about human nature in general, which is that we're a mixture. We're certainly not all bad. People who tell you that people are rotten are disregarding huge and vast planes of the human experience, where people are kind and good and sensitive and loving. But people who tell you that people are only good forget how much pleasure people take in smashing things and burning them and being cruel and being unkind and screaming at the driver next to you. We have all sorts of impulses, and they are mixed up inside of us. And part of what we assume religion is supposed to be about is to make us better as human beings, as individual people. And when you live in a society that is a well-ordered society, it's true, most of religion is directed towards your individual soul. But remember that Moshe is facing this people, and he knows they're about to set up a state. And what he is telling them is, how you shape your individual life will determine what kind of country, of state, of nation you will have. You can't be a lousy human being or a collection of lousy human beings and expect to have a decent social order. It won't work. If you give free rein to your desire to burn and loot and destroy whenever you feel like it, if you forget all these things that you've learned along the way in the desert, when you get into Israel, it won't work. Some time ago, the conservative columnist George Will wrote a book called Statecraft as Soulcraft. Moshe's doing the exact opposite. He's doing soulcraft as statecraft. That is, if you shape your soul a certain way, you will discover that your country will work. But if you give rein to your impulses and you forget what it is to be a decent human being, all of a sudden, you won't be able to have a decent society either. And if I can, I'd like to give as evidence the protests that are going on in Israel. Now, I grant you, the protesters in Israel are professionals, many of them. They're older. But there are hundreds of thousands of people out on the street. You know how many stores have been burned? None. Do you know how much looting they've had? None. Do you know how many people have been injured in the protests in Israel? None. Because there's a buildup of social capital. People understand that they're in this together, that they have to solve this together. That actually, if you destroy the things that make your society won't work. And the reason that Moshe has to repeat the Ten Commandments is he has to remind Israel that they're indispensable not just for the health of an individual soul, but for the functioning of society. If you have a society where you don't kaved et avicha ve'et imecha, where you don't respect those who are older than you, your society will break down. It will be destroyed. It won't work. If you have a society where people don't feel an obligation not to steal, not to murder, not to take what belongs to other people, your society will be destroyed. When people say that the Ten Commandments aren't only a religious statement, but a social statement, this is what they mean. That what we gave the world as a Jewish people wasn't just a way for souls to grow, but for societies to function. And we don't like to emphasize that because I grant you, it is less compelling in some ways to talk about law and social order than it is to talk about spirituality and seeking God. But the only way that you can get to the second is if you've got the first. If you know that essentially the social order is stable, that people are fundamentally law-abiding, that they will be considerate of one another. This is why, don't forget, God destroys the world in the first place, in the time of Noah. Because the social order has broken down and people are cruel to one another and the world isn't working, so God starts again. It's why God destroys the city of Sodom. The same thing. Because of the cruelty of people for one another, not because they're not praying enough, not because they're not meditating about God, but because they're treating each other so badly that the society ceases to function. The gears no longer can move. There's too much sand in the social order. And this is important, especially as is happening now and will be happening for a long time to come, it seems. A society is going through economic difficulties. Because when a society has economic difficulties, there is a social strain. And there's an impulse not to be as kind, and not to be as considerate, and not to be as forgiving, and not to be as helpful, because everybody feels under this economic and social strain. But as Jews, we remember what it is to be caring and law-abiding. We came poor to this country. We were poor in the country of our origins, almost all of us at one time or another, and yet Jewish society was never distinguished by rampant criminality and cruelty and law-breaking. because we remembered what Moshe said, which is, in the end, the only way you get a good social order is if you have good people. So why does Moshe repeat the Ten Commandments? Because it's the only way this will work. We really are heading into increasingly difficult economic times. And I want you to know that no politician, no president, no program alone will be sufficient to pull us out. It will take a nation. And the prerequisite of doing that will be a nation that is somehow able to pull itself together, to be considerate, to be kind, to be hardworking, to be caring, to be all those things that Moshe, in this morning's Torah portion, is telling the Israelites they must be. Moshe didn't only have to tell Israel how to believe in God. He also had to tell Israel how to live with one another. And the reason that we read the Torah over and over and over again is because we are still learning the lesson. In the months, and I'm afraid even the years ahead, this lesson may be increasingly poignant. So remember, in Jewish law, we are told, Dina de Malchuta Dina, the law of the land is the law. When you obey American law, you are actually obeying Jewish law. When you're a good citizen, that's part of the way towards being a good Jew. It's what Moses was telling our ancestors on the plains before they crossed the Jordan. It is still true. It is still necessary, and I hope it is still heard. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.